This morning we will be reading from 2 Chronicles 6, the verses 1 through 6 and 26 to 31. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in a dark cloud. I have built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever." While the whole assembly of Israel was standing there, the king turned around and blessed them. And then he said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his hands has fulfilled what he promised with his mouth to my father David. For he said, 'Since the day I brought my people out of Israel, I have not chosen a city in any tribe of Israel to have a temple built so that my name might be there. Nor have I chosen anyone to be ruler over my people Israel. But now I have chosen it, Jerusalem, for my name to be there, and I have chosen David to rule my people Israel.'" The verses 26 to 31. "When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray towards this place and give praise to your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live, and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. When famine or plague comes to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when enemies besiege them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by anyone among your people Israel, be aware of their afflictions and pains, and spreading out their hands towards this temple. Then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, forgive, and deal with everyone according to all they do, since you know their hearts, for you alone know the human heart, so that they will fear you and walk in obedience to you all the time that they live in the land you gave our ancestors." The Word of God.
Well, thanks, Rob, for reading the scripture for us. The scripture reading was about the temple in Jerusalem. And the temple has an incredibly important place within scripture and within the story of the Bible. If you remember, Jesus had several encounters in and around the temple. One was when he was only 12 years old, and he was there, and he got into the position where he could talk with the leaders, the thinkers, the pastors of the church or of the temple, and he asked such good questions, and he gave such thought-provoking answers that everyone was amazed, and that happened in the temple. Later on in Jesus' ministry, when he was a man, he went to the temple, and he saw something there that really disturbed him. The temple in Jerusalem at the time of Jesus was in the context of the Roman occupation. And the Romans gave people money to use as currency throughout the empire. And the coins that the Romans used had symbols and images of the Roman gods on them. So, of course, they couldn't be used in the temple because that would be a desecration. You can't bring an idol into God's temple. And so the Jews made a special currency just for use in the temple. And they would exchange their Roman money with the idols on it for temple money that was free of idols. And there were some people that set up a little business, you know, inside the temple where this money exchange could take place. And apparently, these people were real gougers, that they were making a lot of money off the exchange. Also, people would come and purchase sacrifices, animals that would be sacrificed on the altar. And from what we understand, there were some people that took advantage of the worshipers and charged them extreme amounts of money for these things. Well, Jesus came into the temple and he saw this, and he was so upset that he took the tables of the money changers and he flipped them over. And he was so angry that he chased those people out of the temple. Now, these money changers, they were financial people. They worked with their minds. They figured out the calculations. Jesus had grown up as a tradesman, a carpenter, someone involved in construction. And I'm pretty sure that Jesus was quite the figure. I think he was pretty muscular and he was a strong man because of the trade that he had been involved in with Joseph. So he chased these money guys out of the temple and he said, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and you have turned it into a den of robbers." Jesus was irate at the desecration of the temple. And he did everything he could, and it was effective, to purify it, to get rid of those kind of people. The scripture reading that Rob read for us today was from 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And that is a story and the episode that happens just after the temple has been constructed. Before this, God was worshipped in a tabernacle. A tabernacle was a portable shrine that people could carry with them. It was built while the Israelites were in the wilderness and they were on the move. So God could move with them, represented by the tabernacle. And for a long time after they were settled into the land of promise, the focus of worship continued to be that tabernacle. King David said, "I want to build for God a house." He said, "I'm living in a palace. Why should our God live in a tent?" But God said, "David, you've been a man of war. You've been in lots of battles. You have blood on your hands. I don't want you to be the one to build my temple." Solomon, his son who followed him, was called to be a king of wisdom and a king of peace. And he was allowed to build that temple. What we read and what we heard was Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. The temple was to be the focal point of God's people's worship. God had his throne room established in the temple, and people would come to it for their offerings and their religious observances. And when they prayed, they would pray towards it because that was the locus of God on earth. Solomon's prayer is very significant and teaches us some things about the function of prayer in the people's lives. I wanted to especially look at the last part of the reading that we had, verses 28 through 31. Those particular verses are very helpful for us to understand how prayer functions in the lives of God's people, particularly when times are not good. When the people are going through a time of trouble, then their hearts and their minds and their souls were to reach out to God in the direction of the temple. and ask for help. And that is what happens. What happens when we get on our knees? What happens when we lift up our hands to God? What happens when we say to the Lord, we are here and we ask to enter into your presence? It's quite the stupendous, amazing thing to do. You know, who am I? Who are you? When we compare ourselves to the glory and might and majesty of God. Every time in Scripture people have come to that realization or asked that question, they say, we are dust. That we are so small in front of an amazingly powerful and beautiful Creator God, that people would shy away. You would think that was what would happen, but instead, when we knock on the door of heaven, when we approach the throne of God, what happens is God gets down on a knee. God puts a hand to his ear so that he can hear every word that you are saying. The amazing truth of God is that he listens to you. When you speak in prayer to God, you have the undivided attention of God. And if there's anything I can say that should blow you away, that just fill you with amazement and awe and wonder, that's it. Our God, the true God, the Creator of heaven and earth, hears you. How many times do people not complain? I feel like I talk and nobody's listening. I feel like nobody hears me. Well, people might not listen to you, but I'll tell you, God does. It's one of the beautiful realities of calling out to God. The second thing that we see in this text, not only does God hear, but God sees us, and he sees us for exactly who we are. If you think that you can pull the wool over God's eyes, you're wrong. God looks into the depths of your heart. God sees the things that you do in secret. God knows absolutely everything about you. And like me, you need to be forgiven. You are not perfect. You have done things that you shouldn't have done. You have failed to do the things that God has asked you to do. And you stand in the need of forgiveness. Well, so am I. So is everyone who has walked this earth, with the exception of our Lord Jesus. Well, when you come to God in prayer, not only does he hear, he sees you, and he sees you as someone whom he has forgiven. You go to God and receive the blessing of his forgiveness. It's another amazing thing. This text is full of these amazing things that should make us just exult. Remember our call to worship? It was about exalting, lifting high the name of God. Well, why do we do that? Because he created us. Because he hears us. Because he sees us. And in seeing us, he forgives us. There's another thing that our text says. He hears, he sees, but then he guides. When we come to God in prayer, we are the heard, we are the seen, but we also become those who receive the guidance of God. What prayer does for us is it brings us into a relationship with God so that we are transformed by it. When you get down on your knees to pray, you become a different person when you get up. The encounter, the experience of prayer is transformative by the grace of God through the work of the Spirit. So if you know that your life has to change and you need to make a 180-degree turn, maybe you say, I only need to make a 45-degree turn. However much you need to turn, it's by praying to God and entering into that deep and personal relationship with Him that you will experience that turn. Which then leads us what our text says. The fourth thing. What have we said? He hears us. He sees us. He guides us. But then the very last thing it says is that He blesses us. That we go not as people that are off on our own. We go into this life, into this calling, into this way of being with God, for God, to the glory of God. And we know that His blessings are so that we can have hope that we will have success in this. Here in this time of COVID-19, this time of threat and danger and worry, this is the time when we need to be in prayer. My friends, I ask you to make this a part of your routine. Make this part of your spiritual habit, that going to God, talking to God, being in community with God, being heard and seen and guided and blessed by God is what is your experience, because that will also help you in the challenges that you face in this time of pandemic. I know that we are going to get through this. Most of us are going to go through this time, and we will see how others have been affected by the illness, but it won't be our story. Lots of us are going to keep on working and not having lost our jobs. And we'll give glory to God for that. We'll be in a better position to help others. Some of us are going to get sick. Some of us are going to be impacted negatively by the consequences of this virus. Well, no matter what it is, we need to be in prayer. We need to be asking God to hear and see and guide and bless us. Because then we can help each other. Then we can come through this as a community. Then together we can give glory to God. God's temple doesn't exist anymore in one way. Physically, that temple was destroyed. But the temple now is in the hearts of God's people. Here is where the temple of God is. And in your heart, that is where the temple of God is. Thanks be to God that we have access to the very throne room. He has made it so accessible to us, and He blesses us so richly. May God bless you. And this has been said in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.